Going to be in the Gospel of John today, and if you'd like to go ahead and be seated, we do have several verses of Scripture. I'll let you be seated. John chapter 20, as we open our Bibles this morning, and we are out of John chapter 20. We will be in the other Gospels as well. We will look at those. The death, burial, and resurrection is something that is present in all four Gospels. We have his death, his trial, his death, and his burial in chapter 27 of Matthew. In the 28th chapter, we have his resurrection. In Mark 15, we have his death and burial. In Mark 16, we have his resurrection. In the Luke chapter 23, we have his death and burial. In chapter 24, we have his resurrection. And in John chapter 19, we have his death and burial. And in John chapter 20, we have his resurrection. Each one of the Gospels clearly tell us of this great and important event, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at the 19th chapter, verse 30, we're going to begin reading in chapter 20, but I want to first read from John 19:30, because we find there, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Now today we're going to tell you the rest of the story. Let's read in John chapter 20, verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, up unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. He stooping down and looked in, he saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without of the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto the woman, Why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabbi, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, unto your Father, to my God, unto your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. We're going to end there with that 18th verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. We come and we bring food, and we have wonderful fellowship over the food, as we do often, and different times of Christmas and Resurrection Sunday and Wednesday nights and things like that. But Father, the feeding of your word, that is where our strength will come from. Yes, we need our bodies to be fed. We need your strength physically. And we ask, Father, that you just continue each day to strengthen each one of us as we have so many that are battling physical problems, Father. But through those physical times, the most important thing is that we know you as our Savior, that we can walk each and every day, and that we're lifted up by you and we're held by you, and know, Father, that you will care for us and meet our every need. And so please, dear Father, today, just remind us of this wonderful event that took place over 2,000 years ago when Father, your Son Jesus completed that work of salvation, went to the cross, died on the cross, and then rose again. And right now, he's seated at your right hand. Then, Father, that wasn't the end. Then you sent the Comforter. And we enjoy the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, within our hearts. That's how we know. That's how we know that he's risen from the dead, that your Son is alive. Father, thank you today. Now just show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the Gospel of John, we look at the event that took place 2,000 years ago, and we have so much, we have so many folks that are saved and born again and testify of the truth that Jesus is alive. Because we know, as that beautiful hymn tells us, I know within my heart that he is alive and he is real. But we have many events in history that prove that he not only was crucified, that he was buried in Joseph's tomb, but then at the first day of the week, 3 days later, crucifixion was on Wednesday, 3 days later, and Sunday morning, the first day of the week, they went to finish preparation of the burial, and we know that he was alive. He is out of that grave. Now, that words and the words that we have in the four Gospels that we've talked about, as well as in many other writings of Paul and others, we also can look back and find that back in Genesis, that promise was given to Adam and Eve that the Messiah was going to come. And the Messiah would suffer. We have that beautiful gospel back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Many times in the Old Testament, this death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus is so evident and so clear. We have that beautiful story of the salvation that come through Noah's Ark. And then we look at Abraham offering Isaac up, and we look at that picture. We look at the children of Israel as they crossed through the Red Sea on dry land. And as they crossed through the Red Sea on dry land, most folks don't realize, but they come out of the other side of that in 3 days. In 3 days, alive. So what a beautiful picture that we have. Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish and is alive. We enjoy and love the tabernacle, and we look at the tabernacle and how it shows us so clearly the salvation that is offered to anyone that will believe. And they would bring their offering and bring their sacrifice, just reminding them and showing them that there'll be a day that perfect lamb will come, and that perfect lamb then will be slain and crucified as he was upon the cross. And so we see that. And then we have back in Psalms, as David has written, Psalm 16 and verse 9 through 11, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And then we have, and I'm going to take you back there to Isaiah 53. We've got to go back to Isaiah 53. and look at these beautiful verses of Scripture that the prophet Isaiah, through the leadership of the Lord Jesus, as he has given him and the direction of the Holy Spirit to write these things for us. Isaiah 53, beginning to read with verse 1, we'll read down through the 11th verse. Who hath believed our report? What a question. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Another good question. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of many people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. The Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He died there for you and for me. But when it says for many, and he does not say for all, because he died for all, but unless you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if he's convicted your sins and you recognize that and you come by faith to Jesus, then you are and do become a child of God. So we have many beautiful scriptures there to tell us and remind us of the importance of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus and of his glorious resurrection. Again, each one of the Gospels have given this account. And when we find in the first verse of chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, we know by the other Gospels that there were others with her when they came to the tomb. And so, first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. You see, they had to wait till after the Sabbath was finished. And when the Sabbath was finished, which was Saturday, because it was Passover week, and they had to wait for everything to be finished. And she did not wait for daybreak. She was there before daybreak. She was there before the sun had risen, as well with others. They had come, as the Scripture tells us, with everything to finish the burial. Now, they were present. They were aware of the stone. They were aware of the sealing of the stone. And yet they went by faith to finish the burial. That's a sad statement, because they knew they had to do that, and yet they did not believe that he would be raised from the dead. And so, while we find that Mary Magdalene here, they come unto the sepulcher, seeth the stone was taken away from the sepulcher, and we are aware back in other Gospels there that the angel came down, rolled the stone away. It was as an earthquake, the Scripture tells us. And so it's a joy to read, and I hope that you have this week. I hope that you have read each account of the crucifixion and each account of the resurrection, because it's just wonderful to enjoy reading each one, and each day while I read the account and then enjoyed searching to see which one the Lord would have me to preach from, whether it was from John or Matthew or which one of the Gospels. As we find Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and we see that the stone is rolled away, and we're going to find here very quickly that it seems as though by the other Gospels that the other women stayed for a period of time, and Mary left, and she left for one purpose, and that was to go find Peter and John. And she wanted to tell them that Jesus was alive. Is that right? No. She went to tell them that somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. Repeatedly, our Lord and Savior has told his disciples and Mary and others that in 3 days, I'm going to raise from the dead. And yet she went to prepare a body that she knew was dead. And then when she found the body missing, she said, "Someone has stolen it." Let's think about that just a little bit. Would the Pharisees and the Sadducees, would they steal the body? No, because that would have the appearance that he'd risen from the dead. Could the disciples steal the body? No, we've got a guard. It's not one guard, it's not two guards. You know, you see some pictures and things, you see two guards. It was more than two guards. There was no way that the disciples could come and steal that body away. How could a bunch of shepherds and fishermen overtake guards and then roll that stone away? Impossible. And yet, Mary, as we do, and as you may be doing right now, you can't see past what you're seeing. The body was gone. That's all Mary could see. She couldn't see any further than that. She couldn't see past that the body was gone. And what would you and I do? Oh, I'd have known he was raised from the dead. I'd have been just like the Mary, and just like Peter and John, just like all the disciples, you know. Must have stolen the body. Don't know how, but somebody must have stolen the body away. Well, Mary runs and she comes to Peter and to John, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." And Peter then went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And we know, according to the writings, and isn't it something that our Lord chose to identify that one got there before the other? You know, what's that have to do with anything? It has a lot to do with it, because John, I believe, when he looked in, he didn't go in. He just looked in. And the word is very clear, I believe, that when he saw, he believed in the resurrection. He saw it. Well, we know according to the word of God here that Peter come racing by, and then Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, which was John, and came first to the sepulchre. And as he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lie, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. Now, understand how young John is. John's not very old. Peter's older. John's younger. John's faster. He got there first. But he waited. He waited for Peter. Peter didn't wait to hesitate whether he wanted to go in to see. Peter went right into the tomb. He wanted to see. He wanted to see. And as they witnessed this now, what did they see? They see an empty tomb? Yes. What else did they see? They see what Jesus was wrapped in, laying exactly where they laid the body of Jesus. And the body was missing. The body was gone. Why would anyone that's going to steal the body take time to unwrap the body to take the grave cloths off? Why would they do that? They wouldn't. And then why would they so carefully, and it's impossible for them to lay it back together just as if the body was present? Impossible. Now we have Peter and we have John. And as we look through the scripture verses here, we find that then cometh Simon Peter, following him, verse 6, went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together and placed by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. Did not believe for salvation, believed the resurrection. Believed the resurrection. John and Peter were both saved, but they just could not understand how someone could be dead and in the grave for 3 days and then come alive. That just wasn't. And how many times, how much love did Mary have for the Lord Jesus? And yet she come to prepare the body for death, for burial, completion of burial. And so we find now they believed, and as yet, the ninth verse tells, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again into their own home. So it appears that Peter and John then went back home. But the next verse tells us that Mary stayed. Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Back in the first verse, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Did she look in and saw the body was gone, or did she just see the stone rolled away so she knew he was gone? Somebody has stolen the body. This time she comes in and she stoops down. She's weeping because they have taken her Lord. They have taken her Master. And she's weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Now she sees two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." It's so sad to see the lack of faith that each one had. The Lord Jesus, they walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. The women, Mary was with him much of the time, cared for their needs much of the time. They were told repeatedly that he was going to raise from the dead after 3 days. And she just could not understand where they've taken the body. They have stolen the body of my Lord. And she was so grieved, and her whole principle was sight, not faith. She could see what she could see, and that's all the further she could see. That was it. Now she turns and runs right in. She leaves the face of an angel. She leaves the location of an empty tomb, but she turns right into the face of the Lord Jesus himself. But she was so grieved that she didn't recognize who Jesus was. And she repeated the same thing. She said, please, wherever you've taken him, will you please, please tell me, and I'll go get the body, and I will take care of the burial. And then we find in verse 16 that Jesus says something so wonderful. He speaks her name. Our Lord knows our names. Our Lord knows every hair on our head. Our Lord knows when we are his. And he will protect us, and he will strengthen us, and he will give us whatever we need when we need it. We just need to walk by faith to him and know that he will deliver us, and he will rescue us, and he will save us for salvation, and then he'll set us free. There's nothing more important than knowing Jesus is alive. Mary went from weeping to rejoicing. And so do we when we go from our sin and accept Jesus as our Savior. We go from weeping over our sin to rejoicing, knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And it's such a joy to be able to, and I've shared with you many times that on my prayer list at the very, very top is salvation, because salvation must come. If you have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus, there is so many things that will come in your life. One is you'll never have peace, you'll never have joy. You will always wonder, why me? You'll always question the trouble and the tribulation that you have. And then one day, when you pass from this life to the next, you're going to wake up in hell, the fires of hell. That's your choice. Demons can possess you. Demons can control you. Now, you can laugh. You can joke. You can think that that's nothing, you know, that's not true. It is true. I've been saved a lot of years. And I praise the Lord that he saved me. I praise the Lord that we can walk after the Lord Jesus. And to reject the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is to just literally write your death warrant. Because you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire not knowing the Lord Jesus. We find here that he says, Mary, and she turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And she said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. I believe that he is the first fruit of the resurrection. But also here, I believe that we have that beautiful picture of the Day of Atonement. Because we know that our Lord Jesus took his precious blood and delivered it to his Father, to the throne of God, and presented his blood. Here is my blood. I have died. I have shed my blood for these. I have been that perfect lamb. I have redeemed them through the work on the cross of Calvary. And here's the proof with the blood. And I believe when Mary met him, he had that to do yet. He needed to deliver that back to his Father, and he did that. The next time we find, and also Mary too needs to understand that no longer is that physical relationship that Mary had with the Lord Jesus. Now he is going to be her high priest, and so the roles are beginning to change. So I think that was part of it too. but is he has not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brethren, and saying to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that what she had seen, that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. What a wonderful promise that we have. What wonderful words that we have as we look through these scripture verses here. You know, Mary was at the tomb to this point until she met Jesus. She had salvation, but this resurrection, she just could not understand that he was alive. Somebody had to have stolen the body. Now, Peter and John, they left believing. Why did she take a look inside? She took a look inside and saw the two angels, one at the head, one at the feet. The question always comes, why are you looking for the living among the dead? We need to understand that when we have ignored the Lord Jesus, when we look at the resurrection, and this evening we're going to come back and we're going to go back through 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, because Paul there spends a lot of time speaking about if there be no resurrection, there must be the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Today we celebrate that time, but need to celebrate that time every day. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you do. You enjoy the knowledge and knowing and in your heart that Jesus is alive. Many lost people celebrate Easter. Many lost people celebrate Christmas. They come together, they acknowledge that time. But they don't know the one that was virgin born. They do not know the one that was crucified on the cross. Because you must come to Calvary to meet him. And please today, please. The alternative is no peace and joy. The alternative is no patience. The alternative is no wisdom. And the alternative is the fires of hell. For what? For what? You have to answer that. Because I'll tell you what, that price is a terrible price to pay for your neglect if you choose not to come. Not only yourself, but then your children and your grandchildren, they too will follow that same course. And so not only, you say, I don't care, I'm going to go to hell, fine, but please don't send your children there. And that's what you're doing if you neglect Jesus today, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that we can come today. You can be in our presence. And as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples when Jesus came back to the room, as we'll study tonight, please, dear Lord, don't let us be a doubting Thomas. Don't let us be a Mary that we just can't believe the resurrection, because, number one, we can't have salvation. At this time, during the transition period and the time from the Old Testament to feasts and festivals and sacrifices that was brought to the time that Jesus died on the cross. But now, the second that we come by faith to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we know. How do I know he's alive? Because he lives within my heart. Father, please, just touch every heart today. Every heart. Those that are lost, bring them to salvation. Those that are saved, please, awaken us that we will take this great message of salvation out to this lost world. He is alive. We need to report that. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.